In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Pope St. Gregory the Great, in commenting on this particular passage from the Gospel of John, noted that John the Baptist was solid in his own personhood. He was solid in knowing who he is. And therefore, when the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests come interrogating him, there is no temptation to vanity on his part. Do remember that he never goes in to the towns and villages. He only lived in the desert. He didn't go around and try to get people to follow him. By virtue of the power of the Holy Spirit, by virtue of the preaching, when people heard him, they went and got others and would bring them to John the Baptist, so much so the crowds were becoming huge. And many, many, many believed, as we contemplated last week, that he was the Messiah. And his own disciples, who refused to follow Christ, wanted him to be the Messiah. And of course, their lives were met with great disappointment. So there's something about the authenticity of St. John the Baptist that we should adhere to. Because we live in a culture that is now permeated with lies. And many, many people have embraced lies themselves. Consider what we've been through in the last few years, the whole farce with COVID, and the new farce with people supposedly being able to change their sex. And everything that indicates that the father of lies and the murderer from the beginning is on an ascendancy according to the mind and plan of God, for God allows the devil to ascend in order to punish the church and to punish the world. So if we are adherents to the truth, then we should have it in our minds to be far more true, solid in our awareness of self, self-possessed, as Pope St. Gregory the Great called St. John the Baptist. We have access to the very same graces of St. John the Baptist. We could, of course, panic and recognize that John the Baptist, like Jeremiah the prophet, they were born without original sin. Our Lady was conceived without original sin, but John the Baptist and Jeremiah, they were conceived in original sin, but they were washed clean from it in the womb. God did it for Jeremiah, as we see in the book of Jeremiah, and Christ did it for John the Baptist, as we see in the Gospel of Luke, when he leaps in his mother's womb. And we know it's true for what God said of Jeremiah and what Christ said of John the Baptist. There is no greater man born of woman than John the Baptist. And he, of course, is the God-man, so he's not belittling himself. He is greater, but as far as ordinary men go that are not God but only men, John the Baptist is the greatest. He was born without original sin. And so that then might make us think that it's impossible to achieve the level of St. John the Baptist. But that's what the church calls every Roman Catholic to be, just like John the Baptist. John the Baptist was both the son of a priest and therefore a priest, but he also lived life in the world like a layman. Like St. Joseph, he is a model for both vocations. And ultimately, his life was about the Christ. Everything he said, everything he did was about Christ, because he knows who he is. And that is something that is lacking in our culture today. Obviously, we can see it when people claim they can change their sex. We have to understand that it is God who made us. Our parents may have procreated our bodies, but it is God who created the soul and infused it, which is the animating principle for the body. There would be no life in the child without God creating the soul. Therefore, children do not belong to their parents. They belong to God. And of course, too many parents forget that. And they raise them in such a way that they don't know God. Therefore, they don't love God. And they won't serve God. But these are people with a kind of identity crisis because they themselves have abandoned the Christ. And it's so easy to abandon the Christ nowadays, even though it's profoundly ironic. In the days when Catholics were mostly illiterate, people were following Jesus Christ. Now in the days when there are very few Catholics who are illiterate, they don't have the desire to read the Gospels. They have no desire to increase their knowledge of the Christ, which means they do not love Him. Because if you love Him, you want to know everything about Him. And as I've said before, you love what He loves and you hate what He hates. And again, we will go back to the harsh reality that too many people, when we considered detachment last week, too many people make someone else the Messiah. Or they make themselves the Messiah. Only Christ is the Messiah. So we've heard the old but trite saying, to thine own self be true. Modern culture interprets that into raging pride. You define yourself based on yourself and your own standards. To heck with objective truth. There's only subjective truth. My truth is my truth and your truth is your truth, and there's no in between. A dangerous disposition to have. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And therefore, He is the means by which we define ourselves and come to understand who we are. There's no identity crisis for a true Catholic. Because he knows who he is. He's created in the image and likeness of God. Despite his parents, he was loved and willed into existence by God, who created the soul and infused it into the body at conception. It is God who willed each and every one of us to exist. And therefore, He created us by our nature, by our reason. This is why you must come to accept that dogs have no reason, that dogs are going to hell. I was about to remind you of that because too many of you love your dogs too much. And remember, it's not Father Zay saying that, it's Jesus Christ who said it. Dogs don't have feelings. They don't love you because they choose to. They're conditioned. That's part of the whole satanic plan. Remember, put the animal on top and God on the bottom? God created us with reasonability, which is not possessed by any of the animals. And that reasonability is such that we seek goodness, truth, and beauty. And we only find fulfillment in goodness, truth, and beauty. God, in His infinite wisdom and mercy, created within us a kind of homing beacon that draws us back to Himself. And the difficulty is that in pride, most individuals, in raging pride, most individuals try to find substitutes for God. And then they have no real meaning, purpose, drive, or, to put it in the modern parlance, they have no satisfaction with their lives. Because God created us to never find it except in Him. Our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee, as St. Augustine wrote. So we should and can only define ourselves by God. That's then what gives us that strong sense of identity, which permits us, first and foremost, to not embrace the raging pride of today, but also to not be caught in the deception that is out there from the father of lies, that, as we know from, again, 1 Romans and in 2 Thessalonians, God Himself allows as a punishment. God withdraws grace. For those who embrace lies, God abandons them to the lies, as it were, by withdrawing grace as a punishment for the rejection of the truth. And those who are true to God see past the lies. They see all the things that are out there that are simply not true, whereas those who have been accustomed to abandoning the truth, which usually means they're self-serving, and if they do embrace the truth, it's based only on what is servicing their pride and nothing else, they fall for the lies. They are deceived. Think of how many people insist that you are supposed to get the death vax, the so-called vaccine for COVID. Think of how many people wanted those of us who refused to die because we wouldn't get it. And now they are dying because they got it. Those unexplained deaths which happen to young people that only happen in the history of the world during fierce wartime are happening right now here in the Western world. Young men in particular are dying. Now they're acting like it's normal. And people believe this stuff, by the way, because of the spirit of deception. There are commercials and advertisements now that are teaching you how to recognize a heart attack in your two-year-old, as though it's normal for your two-year-old to have a heart attack. And they're treating it like it's normal. And those who are under the spirit of deception because they have rejected the way of the truth and the life, their punishment partly is that they believe it. And they become slaves to a lie. Now, of course, God permits the evil so that you and I can see the evil, so that we can return to the good. And he's also expecting that Catholics who know the truth be willing to actually share the truth to their neighbor. So those who are caught in the lies, and we know them, we're under the obligation to show them, to direct them to the truth, and to underscore the lies. But we're not inclined to do that if we have an identity crisis, that is to say, we don't know who we really are. Because if we don't, we will not be self-possessed, and we will do what Pope St. Gregory the Great said John the Baptist would never do. Because John the Baptist was so self-possessed, he didn't fall for public opinion like most people do. Some people got the vax because the television told them to. Not because any medical professional did. Some people got it because they wanted to fit in. And they wanted to feel good about themselves and then feel like the out crowd, those of us who refused, they're the ones that are going to kill everybody. They're evil. Remember, when you're prideful, you're sinful. When you're sinful, you spend your time pointing out other people's sins because you don't have the humility to see your own. So you're accustomed to pointing fingers at everyone else and doing what we see in our culture today. Everyone else is to blame. When you are an obstinate sinner, you're never responsible for your own sins. Someone else is a sinner, but you're not. What you're doing is necessary and good. But you see, therein lies the problem when you have that identity crisis, that lack of awareness of who you are, because you don't see God as your reference point and God as your goal and God as your source of existence. You will go with public opinion. You will go with the flow. You will not have courage. Courage comes from love, nothing else. John the Baptist loved our Lord, and not in such a way that he was given the great gift of having a personal, intimate relationship with the Christ, because he never got to see him when they were cousins, only at the visitation when both were in utero. And he never saw our Lord until the theophany that occurs at our Lord's baptism. And then he sees the Lord one more time. And then he says what to his apostles? Stick with me. Stay away from that guy. As we would tend to do in our own pride, draw all men to ourselves. No, he says, behold the Lamb of God. And St. Andrew and St. John begin to follow him. And what did Andrew and John do, by the way, once they discovered the Christ? Andrew went and told Peter. John went and told James. Those who find the truth are the obligation to spread the truth. But those who reject the truth, and those who deny that God made them, that they exist solely because of God, they're entirely contingent upon God, because they deny that, then they become totally contingent upon the world, and they desperately want to fit into the world, and therefore they live a cowardly life hiding in the crowd. They live cowardly lives hiding in the crowd so they're not going to be seen. So cowardly Catholics look just like heathens, just like pagans, just like Protestants. Even though what our Lord says is true, to whom much is given, much will be expected. Catholics will be judged more harshly than non-Catholics and pagans, just as priests will be judged harder than lay Catholics and bishops harder than priests, and popes the worst judgment of all, the harshest. People think there's safety in numbers, and they end up being like the lemmings who go over the cliff. But that's because they have no sense of self. They define themselves by the world outside them, not by what's within. You know, if you're objective enough, I think it'd be interesting when you observe the world, pull back. If you really look at it, you'll find that most people are dressed alike. Most people are dressed alike, even if they don't know it. Most people wear the similar items, similar clothes. A lot of young men will always wear the tan pants and a shirt and some kind of jacket or coat and a hat. Then you have old men who dress up like teenage boys, even in the wintertime, wearing shorts and baseball caps and t-shirts. Everyone has this sense of trying to fit in, of dressing like everyone else. And the style is established, by the way. So it may be diverse in the fact that it's different than this guy, but the style is established. This is what you dress like if you're this style, or that style, or that style. And people subscribe to it. No independent thinking, no independent thought. Why? Because they do not see themselves as contingent upon God, who made them as individuals and unique persons who are indeed His offspring. They don't see it that way. That's why they're all so confused. That's why they're all so lost. And that's why pride will always kick in. And then it becomes protecting what you believe is your own, funding relationships for yourself, doing things and possessing people to make you feel good about you, instead of actually entering into relationships with others where you love them for their own personhood and not what they do for you, or not how they make you feel, or you don't cling to them desperately. You recognize their freedom, and you recognize the willful relationship of friendship. This is especially true in the ultimate relationship of friendship, that is the sacrament of holy matrimony. Those who do not know God ultimately reject God because they will create an image of God that is not truly God. Too many Catholics never read Scripture. They don't know what Jesus says, so they have no clue who our Lord really is, which is why most in their raging pride embrace universalism, that everyone is going to heaven, except maybe for those people I don't like. But everybody else is going to heaven no matter what, especially the worst sinner, because that makes the people who are mediocre feel good. When anti-church spreads the message that sodomy is okay, your mediocre Catholic agrees with that. Why? Because he may not be committing sodomy, but if a sodomite's going to heaven, then he sure as heck is going to heaven too, because he does much less. That's the kind of thing that happens when you don't know God. If you don't know God, you won't love God. And if you don't love God, you won't serve God. What did our Lord say? If you love me, keep my commandments. That's all he asks. Keep my commandments. And the more we keep them, the more the grace builds, and we begin to see who we are. The bottom line is this. Whether you're a layman or a priest or religious, we're all supposed to be imitating John the Baptist. And it's no coincidence that before the Second Vatican Council, John the Baptist was one of the most important figures in the church, and it had been so since the beginning. And after Vatican II, John the Baptist kind of fell into disuse, except during Advent. Whereas in the old rite, John the Baptist figures prominently in our prayers. Think of Michelangelo's Last Judgment, Christ in the center, Our Lady to his right, and John the Baptist to his left. John the Baptist is the paragon we should be following for being in the world, whether we're priests or laity. And what is his point? To reflect the light of Christ in the world of darkness. And never to draw men to himself, but to draw them only to Christ. To be willing to speak of Christ, as St. Paul says, in season and out. In other words, when it's popular and when it is most unpopular. We would do that if we loved him. People who love their sports teams will always talk to whomever. Even if that person doesn't want to listen, they'll still talk to that person about their sports team. They'll still talk to that person about whatever show they're streaming on their magic double phones. Well, they'll talk about, if they do it anymore, what movies they've seen or TV shows they watch. And yet when it comes to Christ, there's all this carefulness, this reservation, this quiet. That only happens for those who do not love Christ or those who love people more than they love Christ, as we contemplated last week. So ours as priests and yours as laity is to reflect Christ in the world, to be precursors, if you will, who are announcing that Christ is coming. Christ is going to return. Salvation has come to the world. Redemption is in the here and now. But once you die, redemption stops. Christ is only your judge. And once Christ returns, he does not return as redeemer. He returns only as judge. And in this case, the judge who metes out justice immediately, which is why he's described in the book of Revelation as on a white horse carrying a sword and his clothing having the blood of those he's cut down on it. That's certainly not the vision most Catholics have of Jesus Christ, because most don't know him because they don't know Scripture. Ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ, as St. Jerome said. So at the third week of Advent, and ours is to be prepared to celebrate the first coming as well as be ready for the second coming or our death should it come in between. The thing we must possess now is an awareness of who we are. That we are indeed made in God's image and likeness. Therefore we are drawn to God. We're contingent upon God. God is the only one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who can satisfy our most desperate needs, our most urgent longings. It is he who made us for himself. Contrary to popular myth, we were made for God, by God, not for ourselves. And we were made to have bliss with God, goodness, truth, and beauty. Raging pride prevents anyone from seeing that. St. John the Baptist was profoundly humble. And by the way, speaking the truth is what got his head cut off. Speaking the truth in an awkward family situation. Remember Herod and Herodias? And Herodias was the wife of his brother. But you always forget that Herodias was also the niece to both of them. And John the Baptist knew that was sinful and wrong. And instead of being kind and talking about other things at the dinner table, so to speak, John the Baptist told the truth, and Herodias couldn't stand it. And that's what happens to those who are obstinate sinners. They hear the truth, they hate it, they're afraid of it, and they will call you crazy or divisive or wrong if you're the one who speaks the truth out of charity. Truth and charity go together. But you see, if you don't love Christ, you don't see that. And you just want to live a safe life, hiding in the crowd, making sure there's no trouble, forgetting what Jesus said. I did not come to bring peace, but the sword. Not because he's cutting people in half, which he'll do according to Revelation at the end, but because he's drawing a line between the truth and error, between right and wrong, between good and evil. And as he said, you're either with me or against me. There's no neutral ground. Only those who don't love him and don't know him try to find the neutral ground. Those who hate him go to the other side. But those who love him, reflect him, speak of him, point to him, direct others to him, just as John the Baptist did. That's the point of the Catholic life. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And every time you receive the Holy Sacraments, you're given the necessary graces to do it. And those of you in the Sacrament of Holy Matrimony impart the grace on each other to do it, as it's one of the lived sacraments, one of the great bonuses and benefits of being married in the Church. Ours then is to choose whether to be raging in our pride or truly aware of who we are in relationship to God, and always approach him with profound humility, thereby making our lives about Christ and not about ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.